in the background there. Thank you for coming along tonight. Just a couple of delays, just as we finalise a few items, which I think we've now done. So it is a little bit past 5:30. I'll declare the meeting open. This council meeting number 18 on Monday, the 12th of September 2016. I'd like to remind all in attendance tonight that it is council policy to record the minutes as we go, the audio recording. The audio recording of this meeting will be made available to the public on council's website for a period of 12 months. And in accordance with council policy, I'll now ask the general manager to confirm that the audio recording has commenced.
Confirmed.
And he has confirmed that's to be the case. The first item on the agenda tonight is the acknowledgement of the traditional custodians of this land, and I would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of this land and pay my respect to them and to their customs and to their elders past, present and future. In attendance tonight we have myself, Councillor Wass, Deputy Mayor Councillor Reet, Councillor Atkinson, Councillor Berry, Councillor Fox, Councillor Chatterton, Councillor Percy, Councillor Grace and Councillor Winter. From staff in attendance tonight, we have our General Manager, Mr. Arnold, our Deputy General Manager, Mr. Ferrier, our Executive Manager, Engineering Services, Mr. Reeve, our Manager, Finance, Mr. Jones, our Manager, Governance and Property Services, Mr. Smee, our Acting Manager, Development Services, Mrs. Stevenson, our Manager, Community Services, Ms. Jenny. Yes, she is here, thank you. Our Media and Communications Officer, Ms. Wilcox. Our Liaison Officer in Governance and Property Services, Ms. Allen, who's been coming and going and is out of the office at the moment, and Executive Assistant, Mrs. Morton. Apologies, we have one apology, and that's Councillor Bastone on leave of absence. Councillors, could I take you to page 100? If you would turn to page 100, please. There is a recommendation there, and I just wanted to make this so that you've got it when we come to deal with the item. If you look at the last part of the sentence, it says, "This consent does not imply approval for," if you would delete multi-unit housing. If you would delete those on the second last line, multi-unit housing, they're the only three letter words that you need to delete. I think when we get there it will be done. If not, it will be done when it happens, but yes. We'll move back to page 2. Confirmation of the minutes of council meeting number 16 held on the 22nd of August. Can I have a mover and a seconder that the minutes of council meeting 16 held on the 22nd of August be confirmed? I move by Councillor Fox and second it by Councillor Grace. I'll put the recommendation. Councillors, those in favour, please say aye. Those against? That is carried unanimously. The next item is confirmation of minutes of the special council meeting number 17 held on the 5th of September 2016. If I can have a mover and seconder, please. Thank you, Councillor Winter, and thank you, Councillor Percy, that the minutes of council meeting 17 held on the 5th of September 2016 be confirmed. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? That is carried unanimously. Also on page 2, workshops held since council meeting on the 22nd of August, there was one on the 5th of September, being the Bruny Island Emergency Management and Climate Change Innovation Lab. On page 3, declarations of interest. Are there any declarations of interest? There are none. I have one declaration of interest. On page 5, there is a recommendation regarding the Kingborough Lions Football Club. I would like to advise all that I'm a social member of that club, but will be staying in for the vote. The next item is questions on notice from the public on page 4. At the time the agenda was compiled, there were no questions on notice from the public. Questions without notice from the public. Are there any questions without notice from the public? There are none. Thank you. Questions on notice from councillors. One there regarding Kingston Park from Councillor Winter, and a response from Mr. Ferrier. Also on page 4 from Councillor Winter regarding 47 Dens Point Lane acquisition, and response from Mr. Smee. Questions without notice from councillors. Are there any questions? Councillor Grace.
Thank you, Mayor. I have three questions. The Bruny Island Transfer Station, I noted that there was a position called for an employee of the station, being a local person, it says in the application. Mr. Mayor, I'd like an update on what that transfer station has cost to date and how much it's in the red. I think it's important that we readdress that contract.
We have a question on that.
Well, the question is, can we have a copy and readdress the contract when it was awarded to KWS?
I would think on that, Council, we would need to take a notice of motion.
Well, you can do whatever you want, but at the end of the day, we still want to get it. I mean, you can twist it and twist it. I can put a motion in. I can research it. I just thought a question without notice, because this came upon us pretty quick. I wasn't aware that there was going to be changes over there, so that's why I'm asking the question. But if you want a motion, that's up to you. I can bring a motion, but you might not like what I put in the motion.
I'll like anything that you bring, Council. It won't.
Okay.
But if there's something specific you want, that's fine. But if you want something that we revisit, then
well,
I think
can we get? Motion. Let's rephrase. Can we get the audit panel, our internal audit panel, to look into the contract,
Mr. General Manager? We sit there. Their brief?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. We'd want further information, Councillor Grace, on what you particularly want them to look into, given that they have a work plan for the next 12 months.
So the audit panel's booked out for 12 months. So what value is that to us, really, apart from if we want other stuff? But that's another question, isn't it? I won't dwell that. I'll work on it, Mr. Mayor. I'll come back with something else on that. But I'm surprised that a simple question has turned out to be a major issue. The second question will go on from that.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Mayor, summer's approaching, and I was at the Bruny Island progress meeting yesterday. Concerns are raised again by the community. My question will be, what will Council be putting in place for this summer for the rubbish collection on Bruny Island? Extra bins or...?
Mr. Reeve, are you able to answer Councillor Grace's question?
Through you, Mayor. If you recall, certainly through some of the peak areas through summer and over the Easter period there, there was certainly some issues that actually occurred and that were raised by a number of people over on Bruny Island, or people that were visiting Bruny Island, about access to bins in locations. We have had some discussions both with State Growth and Parks in terms of location of their bins there, but we will also look at that issue over those peak periods as well and see whether we can actually put some arrangements in place there that will actually help out.
Thank you, Mr. Reed.
And could I just ask on that, would you also look at State Growth, because we've got a problem at their end, which is Roberts Point, and at Kettering, which will cause major problems. I think they paid some money towards extra bins in the past. My final question, Mr. Mayor, is a shared cycleway or walkway from Margate to Snug. It's been brought to my attention by several people that they're not even aware of what we propose to do. As you were aware, I was involved in getting the grant by the state government for that walkway, and I was dealing with a lot of the community people down south. But it seems all there, and the question is, will council consult with the local community, not just the bicycle group? We appreciate the effort the bicycle group's doing, but nobody else seems to know anything about it. So my question is again, will we be doing consultation with the local community, Margate, Snuggy, Electrona, even Kingston, because it's going to benefit all those people.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. Mr Reeve, if you could respond, please.
Through you, Mayor. So the intention is to do some communication with the various communities, not only those particular communities, but also the school groups and other people who are going to use that area as well. At the moment, what we're doing is going through the detailed design stage. You would recall the fact that a report went to council late last year that talked about, a concept plan through that area there. What we are doing is just trying to finalise that so that when we do go back to the community there, we're actually talking to them on something which is a little bit more fixed in terms of that side of things there. So that is as planned as part of the process there. So we're about maybe 20 or 30% through that design process at the moment there. So once we've completed that, probably late October, early November, we'll be going through that process that you're talking about then.
Just on that, if I may, will that hold the project up? I understand we're going to spend the money this financial year.
Mr. Reeve?
For you, Mayor. That's part of the time frame. The only thing that's, a fly in the ointment at the moment there that we are working through and will probably form a report to council at some stage there is the work that Taz Water is actually planning to do in that area there. As you're probably aware there, with the route that they've now chosen to go through, it does affect some of our projects for this financial year. That just happens to be one of them. That's really the only area of concern there. Apart from that, certainly the design process is on track there, and any of the communication processes has been built into that time frame that we're looking at the moment.
Thank you, Mr. Reed. Councillor Winter.
Does Council have any environmental concerns about the proposed Taz Water pipeline through the Peter Murrell Conservation Area?
Mr. General Manager.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Council hasn't been asked by Taz Water for its thoughts on environmental considerations or other considerations for that matter. The pipeline is exempt from the requirements for a DA, so it's unlikely it will come before council.
Councillor Grace,
I've asked, but I forgot one.
Yes.
Again, I asked through you, Mayor, are we any further advanced with Spring Farm development application? Can we get an update, please?
As at last Friday week, between there and Whitewater, I understand that over 20 properties were sold. If that gives you an update on the present sale position.
I knew Whitewater, but the other one, I didn't see any land advertised for that, was it?
I believe that's in the order of a dozen or more.
Oh, lovely. Goodness me. I finally missed something.
Okay, councillors, on page 5, notice of motion which has been given. Kingborough Lions United Football Club, Lightwood Park Business Case and Project Plan. Councillor Winter, you'd like to formally move this?
Yes.
Thank you. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Berry? Councillor Winter.
Thanks, Mayor. the background to this was well known by councillors. We've received correspondence, certainly over my time on council and presumably a long time before, from it's not the biggest sporting club in Kingborough. I can't think of which one would be. But in this notice of motion, I've tried to include as much information as possible, and I've done that by working with the club. I went to Unity Day, and I know the Mayor was there, and Councillor Atkinson were there, really talking to the club about some of the constraints that they have, particularly when it comes to getting their junior players active. And we know that one of the key roles that this council plays is providing sporting facilities for junior, amateur and semi-professional athletes. And it appears as though when you're up there and you have a look at the facilities, they are somewhat lacking compared with their neighbours at the Twin Ovals, who've got, as we know, an absolutely magnificent facility. What this motion does is gives, and I've worked with the Kimber Lions United Football Club on this motion, discussed it with them at length as late as this weekend, What it does is give them the confidence that their council is supporting them and supporting them in their activities, and we appreciate the work that they're doing with particularly junior athletes, and we're prepared to back them and support them in their quest for funding for the facilities that they want, that they know they're going to need to service the community going forward. Unfortunately for us in Kingborough, we're not in a marginal electorate, and getting grant funding from state and federal governments is going to be more difficult than it would be if we're in the north of the state, and that's why I think as council we've got to help as much as we can by really helping to formulate these type of projects and get them into a position where they're almost impossible to say no to. The background information I've provided, I think, shows what the problem is, and I think I understand that council staff have already been working really closely with the club. The club understands the problems, and I suppose by supporting this motion, you're saying to the club, we're saying to the club, that we understand the pressures they're under, and we support them in the work that they're doing to resolve those issues.
Thank you. Councillor Percy.
Yeah, I certainly agree with what Councillor Winder has said about the importance of the Kimberley Lions United Football Club. I think when they come here, they said they had 700 active players, which is a lot of players, you know, in an area where we've only got about 38,000 people. In the officer's comments, it says that both of these projects were deferred for consideration in future financial years. That was for the additional turf-based playing field. Just wondering what the quantum of that dollar value was, so we know that we really what we are supporting, I suppose.
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, it was around $240,000.
Any further debate, councillors? Councillor Berry.
Thank you, Mayor. I support the thrust of this motion. I think it brings it certainly to the attention of councillors. I just wonder about the clearly a comprehensive business case has to be developed if it hasn't yet been done, and I just wondered about staff and their involvement in this. I know staff have been working with, but actually developing a comprehensive business case is quite a lot of time involvement, and perhaps the General Manager might be able to advise me about that.
I was going to ask Mr. Smee to respond, because I think Mr. Smee's been working with them as late as the last fortnight. Mr. Smee?
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor. That is correct. There is a working group that comprises of representatives from the club, from council, from Sport and Rec and Football Federation Tasmania. A project plan has been developed. There's a feasibility plan in relation to the synthetic playing surface. There's a need to come up with a definitive location for that, and from there is a need to put together the business case, and that's what this working group has been set up to achieve.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Councillor Chadden.
It isn't a question. whilst I support what's been said, we do. Council has been working with and has had grant applications further put forward for work at the Twin Ovals. I'm just wondering where do we sit in the future? I mean, are we only allowed to put in one application? Are we allowed to put in two? Can we support two things? Where do we sit to try and get support for the Lions, which I totally agree they need support, but at the same token, we've been pushing for the better facilities at the Twin Ovals, so the main area of the Twin Ovals, the inverted commas, what uses the club rooms now, can come back to as a function centre, and new club rooms and grandstand be built there. Where do we sit with having two things side by side? Are we only allowed to support one for one of these big funding things? And seeing that we've pushed the Football and Cricket Club one now for some years and it's been unsuccessful, where do we sit now if we've got two of these things coming up together?
Thank you. Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. I think the last time we applied for federal funding, we actually packaged together the work on the Twin Ovals as well as other work within the Kingborough Sports Centre precinct that included some of these projects that the Lions are looking at. And given the quantum of the funding that certainly these regional development funds are looking at, there is scope to achieve both projects. But of course the other factor has been the development of Kingston Park, which council have given a priority to.
Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you, Mayor. Look, as Councillor Winter mentioned, I also attended the day and had some good conversations with some people I hadn't seen for dozens of years who are involved with the club. I was, I guess, as you know, I'm a big sports fan, pleasantly surprised with the range of people that were there and the families that were participating. And it was interesting to watch the football players playing on sand because it was so muddy that their field had an awful lot of sand on it. And from standing on their limited facilities, you could look across at the pleasant green fields of twin ovals with no one on them. So I sympathise entirely with their cause. There were many, many people there playing, and it was certainly not an ideal facility. So I'm glad Councillor Wynne just brought this to our attention.
Thank you, Councillor Atkinson. Any further discussion? If not, I'd just like to add that at the last federal election, Council did give them in principle support to this particular project, seeking federal funds. And like other projects that we supported during that time, of course, there were no federal funding announcements made by the government to the area. Councillor Winter?
Yeah, just to wrap up, Councillor Atkinson reminded me of the family aspect of the club. One of the great things that could potentially happen out of this redevelopment is that you actually have the junior athletes competing at the same time or just before the senior athletes. What they're really trying to do is foster a club where you move up from being an under six player all the way up to being a senior player at the same, going and supporting the seniors afterwards. And I just think that's kind of a unique situation, at least in modern Kingborough. So I think that's great, and I appreciate everyone's support.
Councillors, I'll put the recommendation as moved by Councillor Winter, seconded by Councillor Berrier. I won't read it, but it's printed in your agenda. 1, 2, 3 and 4 items. Councillors in favour, if you would say aye.
Aye.
Councillors opposing, please say no. That is carried unanimously. We'll move on to page 7. Petition still being actioned. The petition in relation to the renumbering of Morris Avenue Taruna is dealt with in the report headed Renumbering of Morris Avenue Taruna on page 138 in the agenda. Petitions received at last period, at the time the agenda was compiled, no petitions had been received. The open session of council will now adjourn, and the planning authority session will commence, the time being 5:55. And I remind councillors that we are now sitting as a planning authority. The first item is on page 8, reports of officers, and there is a recommendation on page 11. Thank you, Councillor Grace. And thank you, Councillor Fox. The motion is that the report be noted. Are there comments or items? Councillor Grace.
Just on page 8, DA 2016222, it's change of use from dwelling to visitors' accommodation at Beretta. What sort of business or what's it going to entail a
visitor accommodation?
But whereabouts in Beretta is it? Is it
1945,
but yeah, I mean, is it next to others or next to the tip?
I'll ask Mrs. Stevenson.
That's what I'm asking.
No, she's just going on the address that we've got ahead of us as well.
Sorry?
She's got the same information as we have, the address.
Okay, and, well, I'll find it. The other one is, which I can't fully understand, but I hope my colleagues can, is on page 9, DA 201686, Kingborough Council, Drew Point Reserve, road reconstruction and widening, including footpath, retaining wall and relocating of a shed. Why is that in there when we've already dealt with it, Mr. Mayor? I thought we approved that, or Council approved it. I mean, some of us didn't like the idea of it, but why is it back in here?
That now is
a development application, but I'll ask Mrs. Stevens to respond.
Yes, through you, Mr. Mayor. It's actually an error. It's not meant to be in the delegated authority list. It is the same application that the council has voted on at a recent council meeting.
All right, thank you. Good pick up, Councillor Grace. Councillor Percy.
I just wonder if it should be noted that DA 2016-292 appears in two places, page 8 and page 11, which I was told today was incorrect, so I just wonder where we should change that if we are approving it. Thank you.
Mr. Stevenson.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, I've looked into that one, and the application was actually a no permit required application, so it should be retained in page 11 and it should be deleted from page 8.
Thank you. Delete page 8, third one down, 2016-292 for Mr. Graham Hills, and it's also printed on page 11, the top one, which is where it should remain. Further comments or questions? I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Gray, seconded by Councillor Fox, that the report be noted. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? That is carried unanimously. On page 12 is a planning scheme amendment application for amendment to table 12.1 of the Kingborough Interim Planning Scheme 2015 for the low density residential zone to include a site-specific qualification for a minimum lot size of 2,000 metres squared at 38 to 42 Linden Road, Bonnet Hill, for Emmett Riley and Associates. And the recommendation is on page 37. Thank you, Councillor Fox. Thank you, Councillor Percy. Councillor Fox.
It's a very comprehensive report. It's complicated because of the change of zoning, the change of planning schemes, but I think, in essence, changing this so that the development can occur will give us an opportunity later to look at the actual details that are involved, but it's basically a recommendation that we apply to the authorities above us, the Planning Commission, and to have this land zoned in such a way that this development can be consistent with surrounding residents and surrounding blocks which are able to be developed to this size. So it's basically halving the blocks so you can get two lots out of the one.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. I will put that recommendation moved by Councillor Fox, seconded by Councillor Percy, that in accordance with Council Policy 1.1, Delegated Authority Policy, the Planning Authority Committee resolves that the report of the Manager Development Services be received and that, 1, in accordance with Section 34(1)(a) of the former provisions of the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993, Council initiates draft amendment PSA-2016-1. 2, in accordance with Section 35(1)(a) of the former provisions of the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993, Council certifies draft amendment PSA 2016-1 as the meeting requirements of Section 32 of the Act. 3. In accordance with Section 35(4) of the former provisions of the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993, Council forwards a copy of the sealed instrument of certification and the draft amendment to the Tasmanian Planning Commission. 4. In accordance with Section 56S of the Water and Sewer Industry Act 2008, Council refers draft amendment PSA-2016-1 to TasWater. 5. In accordance with Section 38 of the former provisions of the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993, Council publicly exhibits the draft amendment PSA-2016-1 for a period of 28 days. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? That is carried unanimously. The next report is on page 40, Development Application 2016-235.
I'll move.
It's on page 58, moved by Councillor Grace and seconded by Councillor Fox.
Councillor Grace.
Mr. Mayor, I haven't a lot to say about it, but I do want to raise a question about an issue with one of the conditions, Mr. Mayor, on page 59. It's regarding delivery, commercial vehicles. I find this a bit strange, restricting it to 2 ton. Is that a mistake? Could staff advise whether that's actually a mistake, because 2 ton...
Mrs. Stevenson, please.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. The definition of a home-based business under the planning scheme requires that the business not involve a commercial vehicle exceeding 2 tonnes. So the condition is reflective of the definition under the planning scheme. If a business relies on a truck exceeding that size, then it can't be classified as a home-based business and would need to be classified as some other alternative use class under the planning scheme.
Thank you, Mr. Stevens.
Mr. Mayor, if that's in there, I find that typically strange, because 2 tonne, most vehicles weigh 2 tonne on their own. So you're virtually not allowed down the road, and yet we approved another, which was a dwelling, not a business, but they'll be bringing stuff down in there, and concrete trucks and brick trucks and goodness knows what. It is a public road. I just find that strange. I don't know if there's any way around that.
That's been answered in relation to the scheme.
The other one is the old vehicle access, which is not being used for the dwelling, and for the life of me, I can't find where that vehicle access that they're talking. I've looked at the drawings here. You've got, if you look at the plan on 63, you've got one going into the new shed, and you've got one that exists to go into the house. So I don't know. Anyway, I suppose through you, Mayor, that'll sort itself out when the building application's in place.
Thank you, Councillor Gross. Councillor Winter?
Yeah, I just had a question about the conditions as well. Condition 3, landscaping must be provided and maintained at all times to the satisfaction of Council's manager, Development Services. To start with, it sounds a bit unrealistic that we're going to be inspecting at all times. Also, the vegetation that the dot points under that seemed, again, quite onerous. Is this something that is required under planning scheme? Is this something that our staff are just recommending?
Mr. Stevenson?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. This particular application is requesting a relaxation of the side boundary setbacks. As part of the officer's assessment of the impact of that relaxation, and in accordance with the performance criteria that must be met, the landscaping is proposed as a means of visually screening the development from the neighbouring property. If it were to meet the side boundary setback, which is 30 metres under the scheme, it would be unlikely that there'll be a requirement for such landscaping, but under the performance criteria it is required.
Thank you, Mr. Stevens.
Yeah. And also number 5, all goods relating to the home based business must be located within 50 square metre area. Again, is that necessary, or is it simply being recommended? And just to follow up on that as well, what recourse would council have if the applicant didn't adhere to that particular condition?
Mr. Stevenson.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Again, the definition of a home-based business limits the floor area of the building that can be used as part of that business to a maximum of 50 square metres. The building itself is larger than that, but the application that's before council is to utilise the maximum 50 square metre area for the home-based business. If the applicant wanted to use the entire building for purpose of the business, it could not be classified as a home-based business and would need to be defined as a separate use class under the planning scheme. They have the application that is before council is just limited to that area. In terms of compliance, essentially, if council received complaints about that, we have the powers to investigate what would be occurring there, and we they would be in breach of the permit if they were using an area greater than 50 square metres.
So if they were found to be in breach of the permit, what would happen then,
Mr Stevenson?
Through you, Mr Mayor. There are enforcement provisions under the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act, so it would be investigated and the appropriate measures taken under the legislation.
Thank you.
I received some correspondence this afternoon from a representative, which I think other councillors received it all as well. It raised the prospect of basically withholding this decision. Is that actually possible under the Act, the planning scheme?
Mr Stevenson.
Through you, Mr Mayor. The Council has a statutory timeframe in which they must make a decision. The timeframe for this application expires on the 14th of September, which is Wednesday. If the Council were to defer or were not to make a decision tonight, then the General Manager would need to exercise the delegation to make a decision by the 14th of September.
Thank you.
Thank you. Further discussion, councillors? If not, I'll ask Councillor Grace to close debate.
Yeah, just, Mr Mayor, just to hear what's been said, I'm still concerned about a two-tonne limit. I think that is ridiculous. That's my view. If that's in our planning scheme, I'd like further information on that, but it only applies to home businesses, and I'd like even more information on that, and I think councillors should be supplied with information about that limited, because I know of a lot of home businesses in Kingborough that there's no way they can get their goods supplied with that condition in there. I guess the only thing they can do is get a 6-tonne load and unload it up on Sandfly Road and then take it in 2 tonnes. But that's ridiculous. The only other thing that I'm closing, Mayor, is the time. Whilst the applicant's not fussed too much about the times, but she did comment that she opens on public holidays, not a Sunday, but a public holiday if it falls on a Monday. I think, technically, I know Councillor Chatterton's been pretty heavy on times and so forth. We've got to make sure that the times are available to all. But I think she should be able to... that should be changed, and if there's a way I could have that changed so that if she requires to open on a public holiday on a Monday... she should be allowed to do that. It says weekdays, but it says Neil, Sunday, Monday and public holidays.
You're closing debate, Councillor. I can't speak.
Yeah, all right. So I'm just concerned about that, Mayor. But as far as the application's concerned, and that I think this is something that Council should be encouraging more of, is these home-type businesses.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillors, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Grace, seconded by Councillor Fox, that in accordance with Council Policy 1.1, Delegated Authority Policy, the Planning Authority resolves that the report of the Manager Development Services be received and that the development application for change of use to home-based business and shed requiring relaxation of front and side boundary setback at 38 Myandetta Drive, Margate, for Henry Carr Design and Consulting be approved, subject to the following conditions, and there are 13 conditions. Councillors in favour, if you would please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? That is carried unanimously. And what I would have liked to have said there, Councillor Grace, then that should have been moved in the initial part, not...
Oh, that's
all right. Yep, thank you. The next item, councillors, is on page 68, a development application for dwelling at 4 Thomas Road, Woodbridge, for Mr S.J. Morse, and a recommendation on page 78. Thank you, Councillor Grace. Thank you, Councillor Reid. Councillor Grace.
Look, this is a business that's been in business now for some time in Thomas's Road, and I think it's earned a lot of recognition throughout for the products it produces. So I can't see it. I believe this is a good recommendation, and the report's explainable. In this, so that's why I'm recommending it.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. Further debate, councillors? Councillor Atkinson.
Just checking if I've got the right page here.
I've got Councillor Atkinson first, Councillor Fox.
Sorry, I'm just going to find a page. Bear with me. Look, it was really just going to highlight the mention of the high conservation value trees in this report, and I was glad to see that had been mentioned, because I know that there was community concern about other proposals on this site damaging those trees, so I was glad that's been thoroughly covered in the report.
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Atkinson. Councillor Fox, did you wish to say something?
I thought the applications for a low-density dwelling, it's not... What sort of business is this? Could I ask through the staff, please?
Mrs. Stevenson.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. The application is for a single dwelling. There is no business proposed.
Woodbridge? Woodbridge, page...
I realise it's in Woodbridge, and I looked very carefully at the development application, but I wasn't aware that it was a business, and as Councillor Grace pointed out when he opened the motion, so Thomas I thought Street. I'd missed something. Thank you.
Any further discussion points? Councillor Grace, debate closed.
I apologise if I misled Council.
Debate closed. I'll put the recommendation. Councillors, moved by Councillor Grace, seconded by Councillor Reid, that in accordance with Council Policy 1.1, Delegated Authority Policy, the Planning Authority resolves that the report of the Manager Development Service be received and that the development application for dwelling at 4 Thomas Road, Woodbridge, for Mr S.J. Morse be approved, subject to the following conditions, and there are six conditions as printed. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? That is carried unanimously. The next item is on page 86, Land Use Planning and Approvals Act Delegations. And the recommendation is on page 87. Thank you, Councillor Reid. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Berry. Councillor Reid.
I think much needs to be said. It's merely updating the delegations for council staff following some changes in positions.
Thank you. Any debate, councillors? Councillor Winter.
I just wanted to clarify that point. Councillor, can I ask, is there any substantial change apart from clarifying positions?
Mr. Ferrier.
sorry, through the chair, the changes that have been made are substantially the changes necessary because of the changed planning scheme. The only change which is substantive would be on page. Let's get the page number right. Page 94, where there's some additional delegations given to the senior planning officers, and that's to enable those officers to process some of the applications in the same manner that the manager processes under delegation.
Yeah. So that's what I thought when I read it as well, and that's what I was uncomfortable about. I suppose I'm wary of delegating much really past the general manager, because I know that the only position at council on staff that's actually fully accountable to us is the general manager. And whilst the existing policy isn't fully accountable to the general manager, I understand that the that senior staff have some authority as well. That 57 and 58 appears to me to provide some additional powers to planning officers, and you could read, I won't read them out, but you can read them for yourself. And I suppose I'm asking for some further justification about some of the practical implications or any other reasons why we're being asked to support this change.
Thank you, Mr. Ferrier.
Through the chair, the practical reasoning, I suppose, for asking for these additional delegations is so that we can improve the efficiency of processing the applications within council. These are matters which would not come to council. They're matters which are done under delegation by the Manager of Development Services. Now, the Manager of Development Services traditionally has been overly bogged down, you might say, in statutory matters and has been unable to fulfil that role, the role of that position as we'd like. So this is really enabling those more straightforward permits to be to be approved by the senior planning officers, and we have the benefit of two very experienced senior planning officers, and we feel that this would improve the efficiencies and the time periods by which applicants are able to get their applications processed and enable the work within this department to be done better.
You're a man after my heart. That was I do love efficiencies.
Sounds like you supported that.
I do love efficiencies, and I tell you what, that's nearly turned me over. It sounds great to provide people with their to deal with applications quicker, and I don't doubt at all the competency of planning officers. I suppose I'm raising a concern because, as I said, I know that the accountability comes through the general manager, and even though it's not solely on him at the moment, I'm wary of taking that down further down to the planning officer level. So. I suppose I've raised my concern. I can't set any lights on, so I'm not going to waste too much time on a busy agenda.
Thank you, Councillor Winter. Further discussion, councillors? Councillor Reid, if you'd like to close debate. Thank you. Councillors, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Reid, seconded by Councillor Berry, that the report of Manager Development Services be received and that the Planning Authority determines that in accordance with Section 6 of the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993, the attached delegated authority policy be adopted with immediate effect. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? We'll have a division or a show of hands, please. Those in favour of the recommendation are Councillors Grace, Percy, Chatterton, Fox, Berry, Atkinson, Reid and Wass. And opposing the motion, Councillor Winter. Motion is carried. The next item is on page 95, consent to lodgement of application for single dwelling at lot 1, 71 Diamond Drive, Blackmans Bay. Thank you, Councillor Chadden. Do I have a seconder? And then we are now on page 89. Councillor Chadden.
I've read it and it's okay with me. I think the background, 1.3 covers all the issues, really, if you have a good read through that. And I think that's really the crutch of the whole matter. I just recommend it.
Thank you. Further discussion, councillors? I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Chadden, seconded by Councillor Fox, that council determine to grant consent under Covenant A on Seal Plan 52442 to allow development application under the provisions of the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993 and the Kingborough Planning Scheme 2000 to enable a dwelling to be constructed on Lot 1, which will not be in accordance with the covenant on the final plan of survey and schedule of easements for 71 Diamond Drive, Blackmans Bay. This consent does not imply approval for the development, which will be subject to assessment under the above Act and Planning Scheme. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? Carry it unanimously. I'm sorry, Councillor Winter, you had closed it. No, I took those words. Yeah. Yep. The open session of council will now resume at 6:21, and we have reports of officers, the first one being the Bruny Island Advisory Committee report, and there is a recommendation on page 111. Councillor Percy, do I have a seconder? Councillor Fox. Councillor Percy.
Thank you very much. This was raised at the last bike meeting. I think the focus on BIAC at the moment is very strategic, and I think we should compliment them on their attitude to raising points like this. As we all know, Bruny is fairly unique in certain ways. There's been certainly a lot of consultation on Bruny Island lately, but much of it has been around tourism, and although many people on the island certainly appreciate the tourism, they do want to make sure the island remains similar to what it has been. And, council assisted the Friends of North Bruny to do a strategic plan, like a community plan, I think it was, and that was brought to the BIAC committee, and they thought it was a good idea that we have one for the whole island. As we know, Kingborough Council is doing a community plan for the whole of the municipality, and this will hopefully fit into that, so that's why I would support that we do the strategic plan for the island.
Thank you, Councillor Percy. Councillor Grace?
I thought we always moved strategically, Councillor Percy. I thought when I was chair, I thought that's what we focused on, and I think we have moved strategically, and it is nice to see that under your chairmanship you are continuing that, because you will be dealing with major issues in the next 2 years relating to Bruny Island, and in particular with the new ferry contract, even though this council don't own the ferry, but it is going to give the council an input, and your group to be able to put some input in. You've had one meeting, we've had meetings with the minister in previous times, but on Sunday at the local progress group it was acknowledged that the work that this group has done over the past years, and we're going to reap some benefit, one would hope, in the next 2 years, in particular with an election coming up in the state. And I think you'll find that some of these tourist stuff, and as Mr Ferrier knows sitting behind us, there's a lot of strategic stuff going on. One would have to mention the Adventure Bay strategic plan for their park at Adventure Bay, and a lot of other things. So I'm pleased that you're sticking with this. The only thing that I'm disappointed with as a councillor and ex-chair is the fact that I don't see now where the school as having much time to anticipate in our meetings, because I felt that they did a fairly good job, and hopefully we can get them to bring some strategic stuff out in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. Councillor Berry?
Just briefly. I mean, I think that the comments in the discussion sort of led me to think that there wasn't going to be support for a strategic plan, but given all the action that is going on the island, I think that's a very good argument for actually having a whole of island strategic plan, so I fully support the proposal.
Thank you, Councillor Berry. Councillor Atkinson?
Thank you, Mayor. My only comment was I was remembering the workshop we had the other day about emergency management and so on Bruny Island, and I'd hope that some of those issues would be taken into account in the strategic plan if we're talking about how tourism is developing and so on, also how the island, I guess as I said, emergency management gets managed and how that sort of gets included into that. I'd like to see.
Thank you. Councillor Percy, if you'd like to... Oh, sorry, Councillor Fox.
I think Councillor Grace makes a comment about the school not being involved, but in fact there was a presentation by the students at the meeting and they were most impressive. It's on page 114. So they do participate in the meetings and they get listened to very carefully, and in fact they ask for a grant to travel interstate, and that money is being donated by council through their donation policy. So there is an ongoing good relationship thanks to Councillor Grace's past hard work in that area, and it's good to see. Thank you.
Councillor Winter?
In the minutes it talks about the road safety leaflet. I just wanted to confirm that it's been, that the history of the road safety leaflet has been well communicated to the committee. As a question, has that been communicated to the committee that a road safety leaflet isn't possible on the Bruny Island ferry, at least in the short term?
I think they're well aware of that, and I'll ask Councillor Percy just to confirm that.
Yeah, when we had discussions with Mr Hinning, that was one of the things that was raised with the new contract, that we need to be able to get on board the ferry and communicate tourism hotspots and those things, and also any road safety, because there has been quite a few accidents on the island. They've all been international accidents that none of the locals have had any, so those sort of things have been raised. And
yes,
the one that we're talking about here is one that a lady come back, one that Savon come back from West Australia, the one that they give on the four-wheel drive roads or the unsealed roads up there. So it was a good leaflet anyway.
Councillor Chadwick.
The Road Safety Committee, in consultation with our communications officer, is having consultations with the owner of the ferry and also with other people to try and make sure we can get some brochure. Apparently the brochure we can't hand them out at the ferry, as we're all aware. However, Road Safety Committee are very keen to make sure that there is a brochure available, and of course one of the members, I think in the past, translated that brochure to another language, which is applicable to a lot of the tourists that do visit the island, and they can't speak English of any type. So that is in hand and underway, and I dare say we'll have a report back to Council on that brochure in due course.
Thank you, Councillor Chater. Ms Wilcox, have we covered everything? Anything you want to add? Thank you. Councillor Percy, if you'd like to close debate.
Yeah, just to confirm that the emergency management and things like communication were part of that, what will be considered in the strategic plan, but I'd certainly recommend the motion as it is. Thank you.
I'll put the recommendation, councillors, moved by Councillor Percy, seconded by Councillor Fox. The council support in principle the proposal from the Bruny Island Advisory Committee for the development of a strategic plan for the island, subject to further consideration by the committee on how this can be practically achieved in a manner that builds on recent planning activities. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? That is carried unanimously. The next item is on page 119, proposed Kingston Park development, and there is a recommendation, I think it is on page 125. Thank you, Councillor Atkinson. Thank you, Councillor Reid. Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you, Mayor. I wanted to thank the Deputy General Manager for this report. I think it's an excellent summary of where the project, the Kingston Park project, is up to. It answers for members of the public that say, what's going on at the site? That I've seen no clearer document than this, so I think it's a great summary. I had one small question. In 2.4, it says the committee consists of senior council officers. I wanted to know which council officers that was.
Mr. Ferrier, do you want to respond, seeing it was your report?
Through the chair, the committee consists of the general manager, the deputy general manager, the executive manager, engineering services, the chief financial officer, the manager, governance and property services, the communications officer, and manager community services. I don't remember if I'd said them all or not. And we also have our employed probity officer from Wise Lord and Ferguson, who attends every second meeting. And Steve Loxley, who is the project manager for the individual infrastructure projects.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Grace.
Mr. Mayor, I've looked at this. I was sort of hoping that this council would come to its senses and look at the economy the way it's running and start looking sensibly into the future of where we're going in Kingborough. This is not a project that I believe, and a lot of other people don't believe, that this council should continue with. It's a project that should be put on the back burner. If you walk around the municipality and see the shops closing down left, right and centre, and we can't get a development at Margate because of the economy, I think it's time that this council took a hard, long look at this, because people are sick and tired of paying all these increases in rates every year when it's unnecessary. I just think that we should step back, and I congratulate the governments who have refused the grants, and I hope they've got the for future site to refuse the next one, because this is not what we want in Kingborough. We want other things. You talk about a hub. I can show you documents and bring back to this table where this was supposed to be a hub. This building was supposed to be for the community. Then I can bring you more documents and show you where we've spent $1 million almost at Kingston High School. That was supposed to be for the community. We can't even get in the door, as I understand. I mean, we're just going backwards, and I think it's time that the manager take a leading role in this as a manager to see that this is just not the time to now continue on with this sort of a development. And I believe it is up to your leadership, Mr. General Manager, whether you know that you should come back as our General Manager and advisers, because things are only going to get worse. When you listen to the news worldwide and elsewhere, things are not going to improve for some time. I can't support this, and I won't support it.
Councillor Chadden.
I think things need to be told in total and not partly. What Councillor Grace has said is not 100% true. This is not a shopping complex. It is not a shopping complex. The truth is there is housing on the site. There is truth that there are other things on the site. It is not a shopping complex. Let's get the truth out there. It's been there before, the truth, and that is the truth. Now,
point of order, that the truth of the fact is that you got your idea, Councillor Chatterton.
If you got a point,
you got outvoted at...
I've got a point of order. Councillor Grace, if you want to raise a point of order, then you have to give me the reason. You haven't given me a reason. Councillor Chatterton is not... Okay. I know, I've cancelled him. Councillor Chatterton, would you continue, please?
If one looks at the plan which this council has endorsed and which the staff are working to, it's quite plain what's there, and has been endorsed and was put together by some people of the public as well. And it was worked...
78 of them.
Councillor Grace, please.
That's all, Councillor
Grace,
Chatterton,
please.
78 people.
Councillor Grace.
Councillor Grace, if you don't like
Councillor
it,
Chatterton,
that's your,
stay on.
That's your okay. entitlement not to like it. But the public have spoken, it's out there, we're working towards it. You're one voice out of a council of 10. And the majority of council on this council and the previous council supported this development. And until such time as the council decides otherwise, we proceed as agreed. That's democracy. And as far as I'm concerned, this report is spot on. And as soon as we can get some government funding and get the thing underway, everybody will be happy.
Thank you. Councillor Berry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I hadn't actually planned to say anything apart from, as Councillor Atkinson, I think it's an excellent summary of the situation. But I was interested in the comment of Councillor Grace about the fact that the state government haven't provided any money for this centre. I read 4.6 that they've actually allocated $6.5 million in the 216-17 state budget. I don't know what $6.5 million is if it's not money from the government. From
Councillor Grace, Councillor Grace,
state
please.
Government, Councillor Grace.
Councillor Grace, please.
Councillor Grace. $6.5 million is actually money, so thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Berry. I think on that note, I will put the recommendation moved by Councillor Atkinson. You may close it if you wish. Hang on, I've got Councillor Fox now. Councillor Fox.
I just had some questions. I thought the report made some very good points, and it's good to see progress, but a lot of the concepts that were being progressed or designed had no time frames there. 4.19, for example, 4.20 on page 122. And also I'm wondering how the impact of the Taswater decision is going to affect the funding application and borrowing of money that we're considering on page 124.
Mr. Arnold, would you like to respond, please?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Well, firstly, on 4.19, it's proposed that a development application will be lodged possibly later this month, but certainly after discussions with the most affected landowners. In terms of the question about the recent Taswater decision, the impact of that will not directly affect this council until the 1st of July in 2018. So we do have some lead time to work through, but the reality is that the Taswater decision will at the very minimum impact this council to the tune of $600,000 per annum out of our current long-term financial plan. And council officers have already started modelling the impacts and the various options that we propose to workshop with council moving forward to address that situation.
Thank you. I'll now ask Councillor Atkinson to close debate.
Thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to thank my colleagues for their contribution, and especially Councillor Fox's, which addressed the content of the report. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillors, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Atkinson, seconded by Councillor Reid. The report on the current progress of the Kingston Park development project be noted. Councillors in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Is carried. You against? That's right. So you're in favour? Thank you. Thank you. That's carried unanimously. The next item is on page 126, expression of interest for community representation on the Kingborough Bicycle Advisory Committee, and I'll ask Mr Smee if he would hand around some voting slips. I'm in council's hands, whether you want to do it the traditional way and everyone selects, or whether Councillor Atkinson selects them for you and you confirm, or it's up to you. You need to put your light on.
I move the motion as printed, but where it says 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, I'd like to insert Richard Langman. At, no, starting from 1. So Richard Langman. Oh, we can start at 3 if you want, but it's Suzanne Betts. This is in order they're printed in the agenda.
In no particular order.
Kevin Smith. Paul Chavares. Jack Ingram. Peter Cooper. And Rob Shears. Please.
Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you. Look, the people I've named there, some are existing members, and some of the existing members of the committee didn't reapply. And I was pleased to see that so many people applied. It's unfortunate that we can't fit them all on the committee. And what I've tried to do is find a mixture of people from different cycling communities and different geographical areas. It's never going to be perfect, but to my eye, that's a reasonable balance of people. And I think that I'm unhappy whether you, Mayor, or myself writes to the unsuccessful applicants and thanks them for the application, but also invites them to attend the meeting as observers, because they've probably all got things to contribute to. But I'd suggest that those seven people are the people who are voting members and attend to help make up the quorum.
Thank you. Further debate, councillors? Councillor Gross?
If a couple are missing, say they get two apologies, could it not be that then the reserves that Councillor Atkinson's good idea of having them all there, if they'll come, but say if you have two away, then delegate two of them on and give them a voting power on
not,
that day.
Not included in the terms of reference.
Well,
and the number
it?
We have in front of us is a recommendation from Councillor Atkinson some time ago.
Seems a bit, yeah, okay.
Otherwise it's hit and miss, you got hot and cold. Sorry? I said otherwise it's hit and miss and you got hot and cold. Further discussion, Councillor Fox?
I need to point out that some of these people are involved with high schools and are younger people, so it's good to get a range of ages as well as geographical representation and experience plus some new enthusiasm. Thank you.
Thank you. Further discussion? Councillor Chadden?
I'm just disappointed there was only one lady who applied, and that's disappointing. I would have liked to see a bit more gender equity there.
Thank you. Councillor Atkinson, if you'd like to close debate. Thank you. Councillors, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Atkinson, seconded by Councillor Fox, and Councillor Grace has left the meeting at 6:42. That the names Richard Langman, Susan Betts, Kevin Smith, Paul Scriberis. Is that close? Jack Ingram, Peter Cooper and Rob Shears be appointed as members of the Kingborough Bicycle Advisory Committee, and B, the unsuccessful nominees be notified the outcome and thanked for their interest. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Against? That is carried, and Councillor Grace did not vote, being out of the room. The next item is on page 139, Kingborough Bicycle Advisory Committee, and there is a recommendation on page 143. Thank you, Councillor Atkinson. Thank you, Councillor Berry. Councillor Atkinson.
These three recommendations have come from the Bicycle Advisory Committee, and some of them actually almost came to an agenda many months ago where we had a meeting that didn't have a quorum, so they've been sitting around for a while. The Bicycle Advisory Committee Action Plan was a series of projects that the committee considers are important, and the committee considered that it was, as a step in progressing those projects, was important to get Council to accept that plan, to acknowledge it as a document. The second recommendation was the to do with the Councillor Grace's favourite Snug to Margate cycleway, and there was correspondence received by the committee from Cycling South and Bicycle Network, having taken into account similar cycleways around southern Tasmania, and they just had a comment that they recommended the path be no narrower than 2 metres, or no width no less than 2 metres. The third one was a response to the Taswater proposed pipeline route, and the committee considered that it was worth highlighting the possibility of using parts of that route as a walkway and a cycleway, especially along the across the North Bay River in Margate, and also along the coast, because the route follows the coastal reserve from Margate up into the back of Howden, and we just thought that was an opportunity to highlight with Taswater that we could take advantage of the works they're doing to provide access for pedestrians and cyclists.
Thank you, Councillor Atkinson. Are there further discussion? Councillor Berry?
Thank you, Mayor. Just very briefly, I mean, I particularly like recommendation C. Anyone who's walked across the bridge or cycled, it's a seriously scary experience if you do it when there's traffic around, and good luck with that, but it would be fantastic if a safe way of getting pedestrians and cyclists across that bridge could be organised.
Councillor Reid?
I'm just wondering, in relation to the Snug to Margate cycleway and the request to have it considered at 2 metres rather than the 1.5 that we've previously agreed, there isn't any specific figure in here in relation to what that would cost. We've just got the, at 5.3 it says that it would obviously be more expensive, but cost savings would still be realised from the initial cost estimates. But what sort of dollar figure do we have any idea what we're talking about?
Mr. Reeve?
Through you, Mayor. Look, the original budget that was actually put up was predicated actually having a 3 metre path, which is a desirable width for a path of that type there. And that's what we're actually still aiming towards actually putting in there. The recommendation that came up to Council was altered mainly because I think Council just wanted to make sure that the project would still go ahead there and there would be funds available for it, and if necessary the path could be reduced down to actually allow for that to actually happen there. So I guess we've still been working on the idea that we try and actually meet the standards in terms of actually getting a 3 metre path in that location there. So obviously we're going through the detailed design process at the moment there, and we'll be able to confirm at the end of that, but my viewpoint is that we will still be able to achieve that that width path through that location. There might be a few isolated areas there where we'd need to go down to 2.5 metres, but generally across that area there we'd still be aiming to actually get that desirable width through there with the budget that we've actually got. So we certainly wouldn't be looking at actually increasing the budget there. The budget, as you would recall, is part grant funded there, so we're sort of putting 50 in, and state government's putting 50 in, and that's what we intend to stick to.
Thank you, Mr. Reid. Further debate, councillors? Councillor Atkinson, if you'd like to close debate. Thank you. For the record, Councillor Grace returned to this meeting 6:45, a couple of minutes ago. The recommendation moved by Councillor Atkinson, seconded by Councillor Berry, is that A, Council accept the Kingborough Bicycle Advisory Committee Action Plan 2016-17, B, Council acknowledge the recommendation of Kingborough Bicycle Advisory Committee Cycling South and Bicycle Network Tasmania that the Snug to Margate Cycleway be constructed at a width of no less than 2 metres. C. Council communicate to DSG and Tas Water that the high priority should be given to the provision of pedestrian and cycling access across Northwest Bay River Bridge and on the chosen route on the Kingborough Sewerage Upgrade Project. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? It's carried unanimously. The next report is on page 144, Minchins Road, and there is a recommendation on page 146. Thank you, Councillor Reid. Thank you, Councillor Percy. Councillor Reid.
Look, I'm happy to move this. It seems that the nomenclature board was pretty determined that there is no grounds to change the name of the road, despite the understanding that the resident, Mrs. Betty Hansen, has of what was originally intended. I had to have a bit of a chuckle about the fact at 2.3 that it was, she claims that the name Minchins Road was assigned by a former council employee after his own name. So that's, I always thought you had to be deceased to have a road named after you. That's what I was always told. I think, as I do with the next one when we come to that, renaming or renumbering is very difficult, and it seems the other residents of the street are not in agreement, so I would support the recommendation as printed.
Thank you, Councillor Reid. Councillor Fox?
Well, I'd speak against that motion. I feel the change is justified because we're writing a council wrong, as Councillor Reid pointed out. And you don't have to be dead to have a street named after you. It's usually a family name of heritage, like Hazel Street in Blackmans Bay, for example, and many, many others in this community, Lucas Street, etc. Betty Hansen is a respected historian and volunteer member of the Channel History or Heritage Centre, and her letter, I think, does represent that she is an affected resident and she is in support of the change, even though she doesn't live there. And it's interesting to note in the report that the two properties that are on this road actually use a post box as their address, and they show that they live in Van Mori Road rather than Minchins Road. So they're not even using the name of the road themselves. And I would have thought that in the interest of the greater community, that two individual houses who don't even refer to themselves as living in that address can hardly be seen as supporting the fact that the name is correct and is valued. So in that regard, I don't support the current motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. Councillor Grace?
I'm a bit like Councillor Fox, but Mitchin is well before my time, but you would probably remember Councillor Wash, you lived in Van Mori Road. Was that Monty? But anyway, that was a council employee many, many years ago. I'll tell you some stories about Monty, but we won't go into that. I've had contacts from the farm, the egg farm. They want it changed to Valley Farm or whatever it was. We've knocked that back. And I support Betty. I support that the name should be changed, because I think if we do the research, as Councillor Fox has stated, she wouldn't be very far wrong.
Further discussion, councillors? I'll just ask councillors now to vote. Move the recommendation by Councillor Reid, seconded by Councillor Percy, that the Nomenclature Board of Tasmania be advised that Council does not support the altering of the name Minchins Road to Minahans Road on the basis that the existing name has long-standing acceptance by the community and the changes opposed by the affected property owners. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? We'll have a Show of hands, please, those in favour. Ah, councillors Winter, Percy, Chatterton, Reet. Those opposed? Is councillors Grace, Fox, Berry, Atkinson and Wass. Motion is lost.
Can I put an alternate motion, or is that... No, okay.
No. Next item is on page 147, renumbering of Morris Avenue, Taroona.
Move the matter be discussed, Mayor.
And just before you do, Councillor, I just want to find that page there, so the matter be discussed. Councillor Chadden, seconded Councillor Berry. I'll put that recommendation, the matter be discussed. Those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? That is carried. Can I just add one thing, Councillor Chadden, before I ask you, that I've been given today in relation to the report on page 157. One of the owners at 5557 Channel Highway have advised that the Holy Tantra Esoteric Buddhism are not involved in this petition and should be removed from the endorsement of the petition. So you can see the second one up from the bottom should be removed. The one underneath it in personal names should remain. Councillor Chadden.
Thank you, Mayor. This is probably quite an emotional issue for some people, and perhaps not an emotional issue for other people. Some people believe that certain numbers of certain houses mean more than other numbers, and I think, from what I gather, the issues come about because a particular property wished to do something, came to council, and it was found, and I may be wrong, but that's just how I understand it, that there were a couple of addresses in Channel Highway that could not be accessed by the Channel Highway for emergency services. So I take it that we are bound by some parts of the Act and also by the Numbertuka Board in making sure that all residences are numbered on a street that the ambulance or fire brigade or the police, etc., can easily find that address. Now, reading down on page 148, the discussion, there are a couple of... it says alternatives, and it goes into 4.31, 4.32, 4.33, and of course 4.34 is do nothing. Before we actually got a motion on the books, which might be one way or another, I just thought if Mr. General Manager would clarify that if we are bound by a ruling of the Numbertuka Board, is there any room to move? In other words, if the Numbertuka Board said, this is the way it's got to be laid out, and this is how I understand that it's been laid out, and that's why the recommendation is there. If we haven't got any room to move, because that's what the law says we've got to do, that's what the law says we've got to do. But I just want that clarification before we go any further.
Thank you. Well, unless you want the General Manager, I'm happy to call on Mr. Jones, who has been dealing with the Australian Standard. So
I'm happy with a senior officer giving a...
Okay, I'll ask the General Manager.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, and I'm sure the answer will be the same from my colleague. The question that Councillor Chatterton has raised refers to the Australian Standard, and whilst alternate options have been identified apart from the recommendation is the only option that fully meets the Australian Standard.
Thank you.
Could I ask further to that question?
Yes.
Generally, standards are guides. They're not legislation. And if there are they're usually used for, say, a subdivision where there's a new development. But where there's an existing situation, a compromise may be reached to meet reality and common sense. Is that not correct?
Mr. General Manager.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Fox is correct. in regard to her statement, but I can only repeat my answer to the previous question, that despite the options identified in the report, the only one that meets the Australian standard fully is the recommendation.
Councillor Gross?
I think, has this all come about because of 55? Because I have some concerns. I think I was on the council some years back, and Morris Avenue and Channel Highway was renumbered back then to the standard that was required under the Numbering Act. Morris Avenue, and I think if you go back through council records, you'll find that I'm correct, that it was numbered then, and Channel Highway because of these houses. But since those days, you've got Google. You can Google, and I mean, ambulances now go out and they're not unprepared. They've got the GPS in front of them. I think this is putting ratepayers to a lot of expense for unnecessary. That's my opinion. I can't vote for this because it seems to me it's ridiculous when we've got GPS is now, an ambulance is dispatched, and away you go. There's plenty of other streets around that's worse than the Channel Highway to find numbers. But I really and honestly think that this has only been created through one development that's underway in that area. I could be wrong, I don't know, but again, I think, Mayor, if we go back and check our records, and I might even go back and spend between now and the weekend through my books I've got at home, and I may be able to put it in front of the general manager within a week where this was. But I'll stand corrected if I'm wrong, but I'm 100% sure that those streets were renumbered. So this is the second time they're going to be asked to change their numbers at their cost. If it's a development that's taking place, and this is a subject to that, then why don't the developer pay for the costs?
Thank you, Councillor Gross. Councillor Reid?
Thank you. I think Councillor Fox asked the appropriate question and got an answer that would hopefully lead us to the right decision here, and that is that they are standards, they're not... it's not legislation that we have to comply with. It's, I guess, an optimum standard. And it is very practically implemented in a new development, as she pointed out. But I can imagine the confusion that for the postal... I don't want to say postman, because that's a gender-specific term. What do you call it? Posties. Call them posties. For the posties in trying to deliver mail, but just the confusion of somebody who lives in one of these addresses in Morris Avenue trying to go into somewhere and explain, no, they haven't moved, but their house has been renumbered and it's just gone from number 6 to number 12 and from number 8 to number 14 and so on and so forth. And the difficulty that they would probably have trying to convey that and get it all right. So I can just see some chaos happening for these residents. I was concerned to read in the report that it said that, not in the report, but the letter that came from on behalf of the residents, that they received notification that this was just going to happen within 2 weeks. And I think we've done ourselves, if that is correct, that they were communicated in that way, we've done ourselves a great disservice as a council in rushing ahead like that and advising them without actually consulting them. I spend a lot of time here talking about consultation, and that's certainly not the way to do it. That's more dictatorial, and I'd hate to think that we were regarded as that. So I think that it's not acceptable to renumber all of them. I think there is a compromise in this, and that is the compromise that we received the proposal by email this afternoon from a group of two people on behalf of the group of residents, and that is to go with option 4.3.2, and that is simply to renumber the property Winmarleigh to 2A and then leave everything else as it is. And that would seem the sensible option. It would seem the best outcome in terms of, I guess, ambulance services, but Councillor Grace is correct in saying that technology has come ahead leaps and bounds in terms of, you know, their ability to find numbers and so on with Google Maps. And so I would foreshadow later when we move out of discussion, moving option 4.3.2.
Thank you. Councillor Winter.
I just was seeking clarification from you, Mayor, about that advice you gave at the start of the debate. Was it the owners of which property that had now said they didn't support the petition or weren't involved in the petition?
The one that is currently noted as 55 to 57 Channel Highway. The one that under this would become 6 Morris Avenue.
Okay, so that's property A, okay. And under that option, they're also the property that would be affected. Is that right?
That's right. Can I ask Mr. Jones just to elaborate further, which might answer some of your question, Councillor? Mr. Jones.
Just to clarify, it's not that they're removing themselves from the petition. It's just that the Buddhist Association doesn't have anything to do with the petition. The property owners have still signed the petition
right, as
signed there. So it's only the second last line to be removed.
Yep.
So am I to glean from that all of the property owners are still supportive of that 4.3.2 that Councillor Reek was mentioning?
As far as I know, yes.
I look forward to Councillor Reek's motion.
Mr. Jones, would you like to give some information in relation to the emergency services that you made contact with?
There's only one other comment I should make, and that's that with new technology, that's why these changes are more important. If you plugged an address in to a Google map, you would end up in Channel Highway looking for a property entrance, not in Morris Avenue as you should. And that's why they're saying addresses should say where the access to a property is. And that's illustrated by the section in the standard on page 152 where you'll see I've got a star beside it halfway down. You'll see properties are numbered 73 Grant Road, and between 73 and 77 Grant Road, where you normally expect to find 75 Grant, it's actually numbered as Tulloch Street because that's where the access comes from. So therefore, if you use a automatic GPS navigation, it will take you then to Tulloch Street, to where the property entrance is, not ending up in Grant Road and unable to access the property.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Councillor Atkinson.
I just had a question of clarification. I did see there was an email coming this afternoon. I'm not sure how much we should base an email from an individual to represent a whole lot of people, whether that's reasonable to assume that that person represents all the residents, or that's just a question.
I think you have to make your own assumption. I'm sorry to say.
Okay.
Mayor, I just remembered it was when Council undertook road widening on Channel Highway, and I think Batchelor was the contractor who did the road widening, and I think that's when the numbers were changed then.
Right. Thank you, Councillor Grace. Councillor Berry?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. The just a bit of clarification for me. I think I've received a communication saying that if we look at 4.7, that in fact the owner of property A, if everybody else doesn't want to change, has said that they will in fact accept the issue. But I'm like Councillor Atkinson, for someone to nominate themselves as a spokesperson without actually information from the people involved, it is a bit difficult. Just as a sideline, I don't know if anyone's moved house recently, but we have, and I think we moved in October or November, and I'm still struggling to get my mail changed and sent to the right address. You contact Telstra, you contact people sending you bills, then you contact them again and you say, why are they not being sent? They said, oh, was that your postal address? That's not your residential address. So you go through this exercise. Believe me, it's it's quite an issue, and for to do this to everyone else in Morris Avenue, okay, so it's the same street, but believe you me, it would be quite a party.
Thank you. I'll ask Councillor Reid for a foreshadowed motion.
Thank you. Yes, I would move. Sorry, I've just come off. I would move that that council agree to resolve to correct the numbering anomalies of, now let me get this right, 50, it's 55 to 57 Channel Highway to 2A Morris Avenue. Well, that's it, full stop, because it doesn't need any more, because we wouldn't be changing anything else. I don't think it needs to say.
Do I have a seconder to that, Councillor Fox? So now you can speak further if you wish, Councillor.
I won't say anything further. I think I've said everything that I would like to say.
Thank you. Further discussion, councillors? Councillor Fox?
To allay the concerns of councillors who feel that maybe there's a safety issue here, I guess by starting small, if there's an outcry from other residents and they feel they want to be changed because of the safety issues, we can still revisit the situation later. But I think this is a sensible way to go.
Further discussion, councillors? I'll put the recommendation. I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Reid, seconded by Councillor Fox. The council agree to resolve to correct the numbering anomalies of the formerly numbered property 5557 Channel Highway to become 2A Morris Avenue, or words to that effect. Oh, okay. I was right. Anomaly, yep. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against, and I'll say no. So we'll have a division or a show of hands, please. Those in favour are Councillors Winter, Grace, Chatterton, Fox, Berry, Reid and Wass, and opposing the motion are Councillors Percy, Atkinson and Wass. Motion is carried. The next item, I think, is on page 161, policy 1.1, delegated authority, and the recommendation on page 162. Thank you, Councillor Reid. Councillor Fox, can't tell you from your sister, obviously, it's late at night, and Councillor Chatterton. Councillor Fox, you wish to speak to the motion?
I think the this is the one that relates to planning, doesn't it? Yeah, and it's one of many that I was trying to battle through reading this afternoon. I don't think there are that many changes, but I think it's bringing us up to speed with current practice, and it's going to make it simpler for the staff. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Reid?
I just wanted to make the point, and I have asked for this before, and we did see it earlier on in something that we considered, but whether when we have changes to policy, if we could have tracked changes so that we don't have to seek out the previous policy and try and do a comparison to see what has changed. It just makes it easier for us, but also for members of the public who may be reading the agendas in their vast quantities to see what it is that we're changing, rather than just I know it's articulated within the covering report, but it's always a lot easier to have a track changes document when we're changing things. So if we could have that in future, that would be appreciated, please.
Thank you. Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you, Mayor. Just a comment about this policy and a general comment about all these policies that we're reviewing, and I discussed this with the General Manager earlier. I realise that many of these are unchanged and they're not controversial, but I also feel that these policies are guiding documents for the officers on what the council does, and that's the level at which we as councillors should be having input into what the council does. And so it concerns me that we've got here six policies, or however many it is, come to us where we've had no workshop or discussion about what should be in them, and it's really a very inadequate opportunity to have a discussion as councillors about the content of these policies and which direction we think the council should be taking. So, as I said, it's not that any of them are particularly controversial, but I'd prefer that we had more opportunity than receiving an agenda on Wednesday to discuss on Monday night to discuss the content of these policies. Thanks.
Thank you. I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Fox, seconded by Councillor Chadden, that the update policy 1.1 delegated authority as attached to this report be approved. Councillors in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? It's carried unanimously. The next one is on page 174, moved by Councillor Reek and seconded by Councillor Winter. Councillor Reek.
This one has actually come to council previously a couple of months ago, and I asked for it to be deferred because the Access Committee actually hadn't had a chance to consider it, and I'm glad that we were able to do that because they did add some value to it and make some changes, and importantly, you know, we clarified things in here that, like, we're not just talking about people with disabilities but also people with chronic pain conditions, so making sure that it's understood that it's a broad definition of disability. Yeah, they've done some really good work on this, and on the action plan, I endorse it.
Thank you. Councillor Fox?
Well, I guess the very issue that's been raised by the Access Committee concerns me. I think when it comes to disability, it's better to be broad than to be too narrow. And by narrowing it down to people with a with chronic pain, I mean, there are people in this community who don't speak English, and there are people who are completely deaf or blind. But we don't define them. The people who are frail and who have just come out of hospital can be equally disadvantaged to people who are in chronic pain. And I think the more you leave it broad, the more impact it has and the more relevant it is to people, particularly when it's actually described in the statement policy as being, these are the people we're looking after, people with disabilities and chronic pain. It's almost as though you have to have both in order to I mean, that's taking it to the extreme. And it's repeated throughout the document. I just don't really think that is adding much to the overall overarching philosophy of the policy. But I'd like to hear what other councillors feel about it.
Thank you. Councillor Gray, shed your light on. Did you wish to speak?
Well, I just... I just have been thinking... I've had 4 5 phone calls lately. Well, you know, in 4 5 months... elderly people, they don't say they've got a disability, but they're elderly, particularly in Channel Court. And we don't seem to have any powers to fix the problems in Channel Court where these elderly people are constantly falling. And I mean, the shopping centre know about this because they call ambulances, etc. Well, you know, you call disability... But as I said, an elderly person, 80, and not calling herself a disability, falls, does several damage to herself. And we've got no recall to go to that place and ask for them to rectify the problems. And it's big fun. State government, so I don't know. But I mean, should this be... All I'm asking is, this doesn't cover that sort of thing.
No, this is the policy.
Yeah.
Well, and obviously, in some of those actions that you're talking about, council has taken that on board a number of times, but, of course, council cannot enforce it.
Yeah, that's right. Well, maybe we should be looking at that in some other policy, if it doesn't fit within this, that the general manager look at ways that we have got an avenue.
Thank you. Councillor Berry?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. The, I mean, the policy was looked at in 2001. It's a lot of time has passed since this policy was reviewed, and during that time, I would have thought there have been fairly dramatic changes in community attitudes, dramatic changes in legislation relating to disabled people, which actually is enshrined in legislation, certainly, which may not have been in 2001. I mean, my question basically, I mean, people who are in some way disabled, if they're buildings, there's a statutory obligation on the part of staff to make sure that the legislation is attended to. I guess what this long sort of rambling statement is that surely all this can be covered by legislation, can it not? I mean, we're talking about... That's a question.
I'm just waiting to get eye contact with Ms. Denny and ask her to respond, please.
Yes, the policy does refer to relevant legislation across a number of areas. The Tasmanian Building Act 2000 obviously covers building requirements, as does the Anti-Discrimination Act. But what the policy aims to do is to work with the Access Advisory Committee to build something to work towards a better level of service for less able-bodied people in the community. So we are working toward integrating web-based content as well in our new website, trying to work towards a better outcome than just what the legislation requires and improve to a higher level.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's answered my question. Thanks.
Further discussion points, councillors, or I'll put the recommendation. I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Reid, seconded by Councillor Winter, that the updated Policy 4.1, Kingborough Access Policy and Access and Inclusion Action Plan, as attached to the report, be approved by Council. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? Yes, carried unanimously. The next item is on page 181, Policy 4.5, Kingborough Youth, and a recommendation on page 182. Councillor Reid and Councillor Berry. Councillor Reid? Councillor Berry? Councillor Winter?
This hasn't been reviewed since 2010. So the 12-year-olds that were consulted in 2010 are now 18. It looks to me like a bit of a missed opportunity. I've said it here before, I think that, for me anyway, I really don't have a lot of engagement with Kingborough's youth. I talk to people from all shapes and sizes around Kingborough all the time, but not below 18, usually. And for me anyway, I would like to see... I know that... I read in the report that our officers are dealing with youth all the time through the programs we run, and I totally understand that, but... I'd like to defer this pending doing proper consultation with youth about... I'd love to hear what some of our youth have to say about infrastructure, about programs, about all sorts of things that we do. Love to hear even from their parents as well. So I'm not sure whether to move an amendment or foreshadow... I'll foreshadow that if this loses, I'll... No, actually, what should I do here, Mayor? Well, policies are... Yeah.
I'll leave that for you to just...
No, it's a good point, Nan. That's why I've stopped talking for a brief week. All right, look, maybe... In fact, what I'll do then, I'll support it and I'll think about my sort of broader concern elsewhere. Thanks.
Thank you. Any further debate? I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Reid, seconded by Councillor Berry, the policy 4.5, Kingborough Youth Policy as attached to the report, be approved by Council. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? It's carried unanimously. The next one is on page 185 and it's policy 4.6, Sports Ground User, and there is a recommendation on page 186. Thank you, Councillor Chadden. Thank you, Councillor Grace. Councillor Chadden.
Sorry, this seems to be quite a large change. We only had one when we look at page 190, only a few items, but this now is a bit more comprehensive than it was in the past. And I think this is probably leading in the right direction and covers a lot of things that perhaps should have been covered in the past. But once again, I think there's another one of these policies we're upgrading, and sometimes you've got to bring some changes in. They may not work properly, but they may, but we're not stuck in concrete. We can always come back and revisit the policies and change them again if it turns out it's not going the way in which we anticipate a policy should go. So, I mean, it's like all these policies. They are a living and working documents which can be changed at any time, but we must review them periodically under the Act.
Thank you. Councillor Percy?
Yeah, it says here that original policy and associated user manual. When have we updated the user manual? Because I went on the website the other day and that's the first thing I saw. I couldn't see this policy on there, I don't think, but I could see the user manual. So,
Mr. Smee, are you able to update Councillor Percy?
Yeah, the user manual is up to date now. It may be that the version on the web is not the most current one, though.
Thank you. No further debate, councillors. I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Chadden, seconded by Councillor Grace, that the update of Policy 4.6, Sports Ground User Policy, as attached to this report, be approved. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? It's carried unanimously. The next one is on page 191, Policy 4.7, Fire Abatement, and moved by Councillor Reet on page 192 and seconded by Councillor Chadden. Councillor Reet.
This one just has some minor amendments to delete the obsolete references to the Kingborough Planning Scheme of 2000. But given that we're going to be appointing a bushfire management officer, it is noted here that it's intended to do a more thorough review of this policy after that time.
I'm on the wrong one.
Thank you. No further debate. I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Reed, seconded by Councillor Chadden, that the update of Policy 4.7, Fire Abatement Policy, Vacant Land in Residential Areas, as attached to this report, be approved. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? It's carried unanimously. The next one is on page 200, Policy 5.10, No Spray Register, and a recommendation on page 201, moved by Councillor Grace and seconded by...
Councillor Winder.
Councillor... No, I didn't see Councillor Percy. Councillor Grace.
Yeah, as I know, this is a policy, but it says about advertising. When the advertising is done, and I have seen it advertised in the Mercury, when staff are actually, and it might be in here, correct me if I'm wrong, but when staff actually start spraying in an area, do they put signs up saying spraying is underway?
They do. They do.
I had a sick dog and I wondered what was wrong with my dog. But I didn't take him to the vet, didn't need to, but he wasn't well. And I noted below our house, our units, along the creek bed, after a few days, the grass started dying. So it was obviously sprayed from one end to the other. And I walked there every morning. I never seen any sign saying spray in your head. That's why I raised the question. By the way, for all those concerned about my dog, he's okay.
Good. Councillor Winter.
It wasn't clear to me whether people needed to reapply to go on the no spray register every year or if they were just on there.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Every 2 years, I understand.
Hang on. So is it 2 years or 1 year?
It's 2 years.
2 years.
2 years. Why is that?
Because you might move to someone else's in the house.
So official response then? Yep. Okay.
Well, 2 years, when this policy was first done, it was believed two things would apply. One would people may forget or not ever, and by keeping it 2 years, it meant they didn't have to go to council each and every year. And secondly, as Councillor Chadden quite rightly said, people do move, and therefore the next person can't be assumed to be for or against.
Mm.
So that was why.
And how do we track this policy? How, what what systems do we have in place to keep a track of how this works?
I'll ask Mr. Smee to respond to that one. I think Mr. Smee would be the appropriate, would he? Yep.
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor, the policy is tracked via our records management system, but I'm not sure if that's the question. Are you talking about the actual application of the policy in terms of those who go on the register?
Yeah,
our register is maintained, it's recorded centrally, and it is reviewed in terms of each time we get an application that comes in.
Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you, Mayor. I have another question for Mr. Smee as well, or through the General Manager to Mr. Smee. In 4.2 it says the policy has been in place for a period of 2 years and is achieving its desired objective of providing residents with a mechanism to request that their road reservations and or council land adjoining their properties not be sprayed with chemical herbicides. How do we know it's achieving that objective?
Mr. Smee?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, in making that comment, I consulted with our works manager, who is charged with managing the implementation of this policy, and that was his response, that in his opinion, the policy is working well in terms of, from a council perspective, and in terms of providing that mechanism that those in the community that don't want their verge sprayed do have that ability. So that's the basis of that comment.
Thank you. I have some reservations about this policy. That says that we advertise once a year and people have to apply by the 30th of August to get on the register. I'm not sure what... as a question, what happens when someone moves into a property? Can they get onto the register, or do they have to wait till the 30th of August the following year until they can get on the register?
Mr. Smee?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, because I don't handle the implementation of this, I'm unable to give an answer on that. I would assume if you move in that you can make application at any time, but the advertising is there to capture everyone. But I would assume that if you are a new resident that moves into a property, you don't have to wait for the advertising period. You can make contact with council and go on that register.
Going back to when we set that policy up, I think you're right. And Councillor Grace is nodding, so I think that was the intent.
Thank you. Having said that, and I understand that would probably be how it's implemented, the policy does say here an application must be undertaken in writing on the approved application form and lodged with council no later than 30th of August each year. I can see nothing in this that gives any leeway on that. And I know that there have been cases where, certainly with no malicious intent, I'm sure, but staff's interpretation of those policies, this policy has been different from... the general manager's later interpretation. There was a resident who rang me and said she was very distressed that she'd provided a medical certificate because she'd been told, well, one of the conditions is an existing medical condition. She'd provided a medical certificate and then been told by council staff that to reapply for the permit 2 years later, she had to go to a doctor and get a further medical certificate to reapply. So I think there's ambiguities in the wording of the policy, and that's leading to misunderstandings or different interpretations by the staff. I think that this needs a little bit more work, and if the motion is put fails, then I'd foreshadow that I'll move that it gets discussed at a workshop and that we ask staff to come back with new wording to cover some of those cases that might slip through and that are leaving people vulnerable, people that either have real reasons for wanting to be on this register and are having that made difficult, or people that will not know until the advertisement, once a year, that such a thing exists, and might have their verge sprayed, not expecting it to be. That has all sorts of implications, that people are growing organics and so on. I think that we need to provide a bit more detail and deal with some of those sort of edge cases that affect individuals in the community. So, as I said, if it fails, then I'd move that we workshop it and then ask the staff to come back with different wording.
Thank you. Councillor Fox.
Thank you. I have similar concerns around the details of this policy, and I think we've never actually sat down and put it together. It's been put together by staff, and then we've had it running for not very long, maybe 4 years all up. And I think there are some teething issues possibly, like Councillor Atkinson said. I wasn't aware that if a marker is damaged, for example on 4.19, that it needs to be replaced by the permit holder at their expense, because they're council signs that have been produced by council. It would be very difficult for a ratepayer to have it recreated. They're quite large plastic orange signs with special writing on them. I don't know how much they would cost, but generally anything that's on a road verge is council's responsibility in this situation. They either slash or they spray, and they bring graders round regularly on dirt roads like mine, and generally the damage would be done by council workers rather than the residents. Not that I suppose a mower or a slasher would go wrong sometimes and cause some damage, but I'm just wondering why that point there puts the onus back on the residents rather than that the council accepts responsibility where it is council land virtually. But I do think having a no-spray policy is very important. Some plants are very susceptible to sprays, some people are susceptible to sprays, and some native plants do particularly well when they're not sprayed and they're not slashed. And I think that generally makes for a better natural environment along a road, as long as there is some control and some supervision. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. Mr. Smee, do you want to respond, read the markers?
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor. I mean, not having been the original author of this policy, I'm not sure what the intent of that was, other than to protect council's financial interests, and bearing in mind that going on this register does in fact cause some additional expense to council in terms of having to administer the policy, and therefore I'm assuming that it was considered reasonable that the costs associated with being the exception to the rule were borne by those who wanted to go on the register.
Thank you. Councillor Chatterton.
Yeah, I've got a couple of things. this policy, I suppose, works hand in hand with the operational side, and on my questions are more to do with the operation to start with. Like, for example, if we have signs out there saying we're spraying, do we actually have on the sign what herbicides, etc., are being used? So, and do we also have a reference to where one can get further information on that product? So, for example, at the golf club, if we're spraying, we've got to have a sign up to say what we're spraying and where people can get information from that, so if they have a problem, they can get there before they go on the golf course. So surely council should have something similar. That's my first question.
Yeah, I know we definitely have what we're spraying with. I'm not sure about the medical, and I'm just wondering whether Mr. Smee or Mr. Reeve have any other input. And that is in relation to where to get assistance. Mr. Reeve.
Through you, Mayor. Certainly on the signs themselves, from my understanding, I'm quite happy to actually check this for you, is that the signs themselves just talk about the actual spraying in operation there. In terms of the chemicals that we're actually using, obviously we choose those chemicals in conjunction with various other people in council, particularly NRM and so forth, to make sure they're animal-friendly and frog-friendly and so forth. But in terms of actually accessing that information, and they can gain that from council by just talking to the relevant person in council. But yes, from my understanding, I don't think the actual chemicals that are being sprayed on the day are actually designated on the signs themselves. But happy to take that on notice here and actually get back to you on that one. If
they aren't, I think, you know, if you're using XYZ, it should be written on the sign what it is, because I think sometimes some people are allergic to some things and not allergic to others, and some people do understand some of that. But the other important thing to which Councillor Atkinson alluded a minute ago, and he talked about maybe we should delay this, but don't forget the register closes on the 30th of August each year, which is now closed, and the reason I would assume that it's closed because September onwards would be our spraying time, and here we are in September now. So I believe that if we don't have this policy, it's leaving us open. I believe we should have something because we're into the spray season, and if there's something on here to which Councillor Atkinson believes should be changed, I think we should bring back some amendments. But I'd rather have something on the books now we're in the spray season rather than nut and sit round and twiddle our thumbs and then we're out there spraying now. That worries me.
Thank you.
Question. Yeah. Question to
you. Have a question?
Yeah. If this was deferred to a workshop, then the existing policy, because we still have a policy in place. So, Councillor Chatterton, that's not quite like Jeb, what you're saying is not quite true, if you may say that, because if this policy is not passed tonight. You're saying that this should be passed tonight because we're coming into our spraying season. Well, we're already spraying, but we've still got the old policy.
You are correct, Councillor Grace, but you can't move the deferral if someone wants to move that.
Well, why isn't the old policy in here like it is with the other ones?
No change.
Sorry?
On that note, councillors, I will put the recommendation.
Just before you close the debate, and again to Councillor Chatterton, when signs are out, how long do you leave them out? Do you only leave them out to spray that day, or do you leave them out for a couple of days?
I don't think we have an answer to that, Councillor Gross. Mr Smee?
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor. My understanding is that the signs are up whilst the spraying is in progress.
So, councillors, I'll put the recommendation, moved by Councillor Grace, seconded by Councillor Percy, that policy 5.10, no spray register policy, as attached to this report, be approved. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? We'll have a show of hands or a division. Councillors in favour are Councillors Grace, Percy, Chatterton, Fox, Berry, Reet and Wass, and opposing the motion, Councillors Winter and Atkinson. Motion is carried. The next one is on page 205, policy 6.6, bonding of development works, and a recommendation on page 206. Thank you, Councillor Percy. And thank you, Councillor Winter. And for the record, at 7:40, Councillor Fox has left the meeting. Councillor Percy.
Yeah, we obviously do this to ensure that any damage to things like driveways and those things are covered. I'm just wondering, maybe Mr. Jones, having worked at a previous council winner, it was the number of bonds that are outstanding was like a dog's breakfast. How often is it reconciled, and how often would it be that we actually keep the money and make the repairs or completion by ourselves?
Mr. Jones, do you have a response?
Through you, Mr. Chairman. It's timely you should ask, actually. We've just, in the process of going through the register, the list of the register fully reconciles with the financial accounts. However, there are some bonds that go back many years, and we're in the process of going through those and identifying the addresses and returning money where we've satisfied that the work has been completed. So if it's a work that's completed and completion certificates issued, the money will be returned if we can contact the people. Once we get then a picture of what's outstanding, will determine what to do, and probably will obviously have to write that off ensure there's always records kept, so if anyone queries it in years to come, we'll know what happened so we can refund the money at that stage.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. And for the record, Councillor Fox returned at 7:41. Any further questions, debate? If not, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Percy, seconded by Councillor Winter, that Council adopt the updated Bonding of Development Works Policy 6.6. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? Is carried. At this point, I was going to, at 7:40, we went on to this one. Do you want to have a break or do you want to keep going? Keep going? Okay. The next item is on page 217. It's the information reports. If I can have a mover and seconder. There are three information reports. Thank you, Councillor Chadden, and thank you, Councillor Percy. Questions, comments in relation to Mayor's communications? Councillor Percy, you got your light on?
I have. Got
you
a,
have?
Have I got a question?
Certainly.
The appointments activities of Mayor Wass. When you met with the General Manager of Telstra Countrywide, Mr.
Yes.
Michael Patterson,
yes.
What was the purpose and outcome? Was it anything to do with the Wi-Fi for Adventure Bay? Thank you.
It wasn't the primary purpose, but it was covered. The other part was also to boost the mobile signal for Adventure Bay to completely encompass Adventure Bay. And the other part was to talk about the relevant black spots, particularly in South Broome. I believe so. Councillor Winter.
Item 5. You went to the Waste Strategy South General Meeting. I was just interested in why the manager of KWS would be attending that, given it's a strategy general meeting.
In the past, he has gone to those. But certainly looking into the future, Mr. Reeve will be attending some of those, but Mr. Reeve was unavailable that date, and on that basis I think it probably fell into Mr. Wisby's a little bit more, because by answering some of the things that we're currently doing.
Also item 12, you gave us a brief, you did touch on this briefly at the last council meeting, I think, Mayor. But I was just interested in your summary of that conversation that you had with the Minister, Rand Hitting, about the fact that the Bruny Island Ferry is going back out to is going out to expression of interest. Just your summary of the conversation, and also well, what you can, obviously, but also the timelines associated with that.
Right. So I think that ends up on the 30th of June, 2016. Or thereabouts.
17.
So, 16's 18. Now. So it's 2 years hence.
Yeah. Okay.
What the minister wanted to convey there was, now is the appropriate time for the community to think about where we're going to be at in 2 years' time. I think it was Councillor Percy, amongst others tonight, said about we can't hand a brochure out, and if council wanted to do that, and if the community wanted to do things, which there are a number of items brought forward, then that part can be written into the new contract with the operator of the next, whether that's the same one as Mr. Phillips or someone else. And we talked about the vessel or vessels, again looking into the future. So it was a chance for the minister to hear firsthand by a number of people both on and off the island of going forward as to, if you like, their wish list to some degree, so that the minister could seriously consider those things, and we'll be doing more public consultation in due course.
And is your understanding that the minister will be making some of those specifications in his opening of expressions of interest, or will that be done once they've already identified an appropriate operator?
I don't know which way he will go about it, either at the expressions of interest stage or later, but certainly he was very keen to get feedback and indicate it to people, you know, it was for the future. Mm. There was one comment made, something along the lines that the existing ferries were satisfactory in the sense of servicing when they're running together, and he says we're talking 20 years into the future, not 2 years into the future, so remember that. So he did take a very active interest, and I think is very keen to end up with the best possible solution to what the community want, but of course finance will be the end game as well.
I think it's a really really good that he's engaging with council at such an early stage, and thank you for including in your report so we could ask you about it. My next question is on number 20. Just if you could provide us again with obviously these discussions somewhat at private, but if you can provide us with any more information about how that those discussions with Huon Valley Council are going.
Right, 35 is the other one, is it?
Yes. Oh, and 30.
So this one was held here on our own turf, where we invited the Huon Valley to come forward to discuss, and from that we agreed to have our general manager provide a scoping document. The idea was to get to that stage. That was our wish, our hope, because without a scoping document we had nowhere to go. And the last meeting, Mr. Arnold and I travelled to Huon Valley with the scoping document, and that was accepted after some discussion. And the next meeting will be here, but it will then get to the stage that there will be a report to this council, and there will be a report to the Huon Valley Council. And after those two reports and two items on both the council agendas, then that's when the next one will occur. So hopefully that's not too far distant.
Great. And also just paid on number 29, I wanted to say it's great that you went to celebrate the career of the Deirdre Flint, the former Mayor of the Central Highlands, who I think, although I didn't agree with a lot of what she said, she is a very reputable and great representative of local government.
Yeah, it was... it was a nice day in the sense that she did say later on she was surprised by the number of mayors and also from the local community. There was quite a few people from the local community there, which I think probably spoke volumes as well. Councillor Grace.
It's nice to see ex-councillors coming to talk to you, Mayor, and I was just wondering... No, I'm not being smart. I'm just. It is nice to see that they go and talk to the mayor about maybe what was the issues. Are they related to council issues? Is he still receiving phone calls from our residents, or what? That's one of the questions.
In relation to item number two, Mr. McGuinness came to speak to me about what was happening in relation to a footpath going up Browns Road.
Yep.
And Mr. Reeve is currently investigating that as to whether there were going to be an ongoing or where we were at, so we're just still investigating it.
Yeah. Item 10, met with Roger McNeice again. Mr. Mayor, might enlighten us a little bit.
Yes, Mr. McNeice called to advise that the fire memorial was a little bit out of date, that some of the names provided were not there necessarily their names. It might have been that it was... Frederick Smith, and we had it down as Bill Smith, and also from his research the government has acknowledged that there weren't 62 people in southern Tasmania that lost their lives in relation to the bushfire, but 63, so there will be a need to upgrade that memorial list on a roll.
I thought it may have been that's why I raised it, because I've you've now
which he raised in your committee as well.
Yes, he did, and it's now made councillors aware that we will obviously have to replace the plaque.
Councillor Percy, do you have a question?
Number 20, is there any benefit in councillors attending these meetings with Huon Valley? I noticed that councillors Rozicka and Smith both attended. Obviously we don't send any extra representatives, so I'm just wondering if there's any benefit in that.
Something that the General Manager and I discussed coming back from the last one. Really, I suppose, the next one, where it comes to each council, then we'll be looking at expressions of interest, subject to everything occurring and rolling along as we would anticipate and receiving the support from the State Government. So I think whether that's an issue, whether... other council or councillors wish to be, and the general manager I think was going to discuss that further with me as to whether we should or shouldn't.
Yeah.
So happy for your thoughts.
Yeah. Number 27, obviously the intended rider program for the kids.
Yep.
I'm not quite sure whether councillors are aware of what rider does as far as Rotary Youth Safety Education. So as you can see, 40,000 people have gone through it over the last few years, so it's certainly a good program run by Rotary.
Number 30. Not a pecuniary interest there.
Pardon?
Not a pecuniary interest there.
Definitely not. No, I just like to acknowledge work being done with the youngsters.
They're doing a great job, Rotary.
Met with Mr. Salim Shedid. Is that the chap from the Salty Dog?
No.
Right.
That's his nephew.
Hey?
That's his nephew.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, Mr. Salim Shedid has purchased a very... very well-positioned property in central Kingston.
Right.
And is looking at developments that I probably shouldn't say on the tape.
Yep, fair enough. Thank you.
And obviously, if it goes further, there will be a development application, etc. So it's not as if it's secret, but... Yeah. Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you, Mayor. We'll get through them all eventually.
I'm thinking that way.
Number 25, so you spoke to the Lord Mayor of Hobart, Mayor Clarence and Glenorchy, about local government reform, and I just wondered if there was anything of substance to update us on there.
No, not really. We all had concerns, that's all four councils, that the information hadn't been, if you like, plateaued, and it still contained information at four different levels to come back to a recommendation or thoughts going forward. And what we asked them to do was to bring it into the same level. So we're talking with Jonathan's and Jonathan's, not necessarily apples with apples.
Yeah. And the other one I was interested in was 19 attended and welcomed delegates to Brunei Island Cat Control Project Workshop. I wondered if there was anything more as far as progress on that project or information to provide.
Yeah, that one was the first one since Council received the funding of $500,000 for Brunei Island Cat Management Control. Mainly government departments and others were involved in that, with the idea that we wanted to go ahead on a concerted and unified approach. And the next meeting, I think, will be on Brunei Island in approximately a fortnight, so that will be more community members.
Yep,
but I thought there was a lot achieved, and certainly at the end of the day, not everyone in the audience agreed with some of the things going forward, and that was good because it was out in the open, although one person who was, I suppose, 3 months ago was totally against the program has swung quite considerably and perhaps now is 75-80% in favour of it.
Good, thank you.
We'll move on to Kingborough Waste Services, a bi-monthly report. Councillor Grace.
Look, I'm just looking at the chairman's report. I'll leave the financial side of it to Councillor Percy because that doesn't look all that stunning. But I'm just wondering, the board again discussed the question of benchmarking and KPIs and how they may assist in the overall performance measurements of the KWS. My question to that, Mayor, and we've got no say in this, really, but my question is the fact that the KWS now has been running 5 years, whatever, when this council first appointed it. I've been told on several occasions that we were compelled to call tenders for certain things because of the Local Government Act. Well, my question is, why aren't we compelled to... readdress this KWS and look at tenders for that situation under the Local Government Act procedures, to because we can't really gauge, and we've repeated that many times, we can't really gauge whether KWS are performing at the best because they should, you know, we're looking at all the time in the reports, increase in wastage coming to the thing. We've just called tenders for the hauling of the solids down to Copping. But again, we still see, and I guess Councillor Percy will be better, but there's an increase all the time in freight costs. Well, we've just called tender, so surely we should have had a better direction. That's one or two. There's several other things I could talk about, but I won't. But the other one that I do want to raise is, again, on 230. Mm-hmm. This is the board notices and accepted the resignation of the manager, John Wisby. My argument would be, Mr. Mayor, as a council, I'm concerned we shouldn't, in my opinion, we've lost our managers, resigned. Now we should wait. Before we reappoint a new manager to that board, and that works, we should wait and see which direction we should go, because we can't continually go at a loss all the time of KWS operating this facility. There has to be better ways. I'm not saying that KWS are absolutely useless. They're a good board, but we as councillors, we have no real say apart from here tonight. You can sit here all night and speak about it, but it goes in one ear and out the other because we can't do anything unless, again, I suppose, is put a motion that the general manager readdress the tender and procedure. I don't know, but I'm concerned about it, and again, on Bruny Island, there's no report in here about Bruny Island, and I know for a fact that the guy on Bruny Island has had very, very little to do now for months. Because and the comments over on Bruny Island again Sunday while I was over there, the comments are they're too dear. They're not going there. $40 for a trailer load of stuff. They're just not. They're going up the road. They're going elsewhere and dumping that stuff. And I believe some property owners are allowed to do so on their property.
Well, the reason they're too dear is because sitting around this room, we set the price.
Yes, we do. Those that vote for it, yes.
Well, regardless of who votes, it's a resolution of council. So I guess at the end of the day, we're all tied with the same.
But anyway, that's my comments on that, and I have others on the financial, but I'd be interested to see what Councillor Percy has to say.
Do you want to respond? Councillor Percy, you got some questions? No?
Not really. It's too early in the year to be really looking at figures, I think.
All right.
But one thing that does come up every month recently is less salaries, always favourable variance, which is good, and always says less cost due to less overtime being taken than expected and periods where there have been staff vacancies. I'm just wondering, the business is obviously going ahead okay with less staff. I'm just wondering whether that could be a saving going in the future. I'm not quite sure. It's just that's the comment I hear just about every month for the last year. So. And also, we've got here a new point-of-sale computer system that's been installed in Noble's daily reports being remotely supplied to council. I'm just wondering how much that was to purchase and what was the purpose of it. So maybe I could just have a comment on that. Other than that, as I said,
I'll ask Mr. Ferrier to respond, please.
Through the chair, I'll have to take that one on notice. I don't have the actual cost of the equipment before me. It's only what's in the report that's before the councillors that information we have. But obviously a waste transfer station it's critical that you monitor the waste that's going there and how much it's costing and things like that. It's an information game. It's very much all about KPIs and monitoring and measuring things, and that's the only way an operation like that can improve. And clearly we need up-to-date technology to assist us in doing that, and if we can do it remotely, such as this system whereby we can actually collect the information back in the office here rather than having to double handle it on site, it makes it a much more efficient operation. But it's the board meetings are taken up by the analysis of the information that we collect from the site and how we can improve the operation by improving the efficiencies using that information.
Councillor Winnett.
Yes, since our last report, we were sent the budget for this financial year, which shows a surplus, which is mentioned in the report as well, and obviously that's a significant improvement on last year, and it's a good sign. It's mostly because we've increased prices at the gate, but the most important thing for the business is that it's remained solvent, and certainly things are looking better than they were before. My first question is on page 224. It mentions that a site work health and safety audit had been conducted during the period. Who undertook that audit?
Mr. Ferrier or Mr. Reeve?
The audit was done by our OH&S officer, our Works Health and Safety officer, Dean Vivart. So he went round the site and did a structured audit of the site, as he does on other work sites managed by council.
So
and that report was completed by himself.
So when you say our, do you mean KWS or do you mean Kingborough Council?
Sorry, Kingborough Councils.
Okay, so how is Kingborough Council going to be compensated for that?
There's in the budget there is provision for payments of those types of activities.
So is that in the corporate support payments?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it's in the corporate support. It is.
Yeah. Okay. So the corporate support payments, I think from memory, is $60,000 per year, which I wasn't aware extended out to OH&S safety audits, but that's good to know. My next question, and it follows on a little bit from Councillor Percy's comment, was just on the point of sale computer system. Was that paid for by KWS or by Kingborough Council?
Mr. Reeve.
Through you, Mayor. Yeah, if you recall when we went through all the capital budgets there, you recall there was an item for that software there, so it's replacing some older type software that was in place there. So the actual Weybridge and the software belongs to council, as does the plant and equipment on the site there. So KWS is there to operate the site, as compared to owning the equipment and the software. So that's a council area. Okay.
Through the chair, can I just correct something? The corporate overheads was $50,000 last year. It's now $80,000, not $60,000.
Great.
Thank you.
On page 226, it says the KWS manager attended the Waste Strategy South meeting. Again, this is an employee of KWS, which operates our waste management. My question is, why would someone in that position be attending a strategic meeting about waste management?
Through the chair, the manager has been attending those meetings for a number of years. The previous manager also attended. It's a good opportunity because the managers from the other waste transfer stations in the region also attend those meetings. So it's a good networking opportunity, and they get a great deal of benefit from talking to other private operators as well as council operators and about how the waste transfer stations are best operated.
Next question is just in relation to the minutes. Section 6 of the minutes mentions that council's communications officer presented the final draft of the communication strategy. How was council compensated for the use of its media and communications advisor?
Mr. Perry?
The Chair, that's embodied in that increase of $50,000 to $80,000 in the corporate support funds.
So is that, when that's put through the budget, is that now expected to be an annual use of the media and communications officer?
Mr. Ferrier?
Through the Chair, the communications officer is assisting the board in coming up with a communications plan for KWS, and that KWS pays for that time and pays for that work. It hasn't been fully developed yet, the actual communications plan itself, and that'll happen over this year. It will obviously be a yearly update. Obviously, we have to sort of make sure that the communications plan is current, and that'll be accommodated within the budget such that KWS is paying council to do that work.
Do you have a set figure for what the communications officers, what the specific allocation for that particular piece of work is worth, is coming from KWS to council?
Mr. Ferrier?
The Chair, no, I don't. I don't have a specific costing here. The there is some figures there for advertising and for website development and education and branding. So some of that is embodied in that. But the bulk of it is in the corporate services overhead, and that's calculated within council. I'm not privy to those calculations.
Sure. That wraps me up, apart from just to say my overarching concerns are still the same, in that I don't believe we're properly allocating our costs. I know that I've been reminded that we've increased the payment from $50,000 to $80,000. I still don't see that there is enough of a differentiation between KWS and council. I don't believe KWS staff should be undertaking strategic discussions about what council handles our waste management. If we had a private sector operator, they wouldn't be undertaking those discussions. I really want to keep this separate, the financials of KWS separate, mostly so that at the point where we do go out to market, because at some point in time, whilst we might not legally have to, or under the Act have to, we should go out, and when we go out, we need to understand exactly what KWS's costs are, because at the moment I'm not confident that we're in that position.
Thank you. Councillor Chadden?
Yeah, look, I concur with Councillor Percy that it's too early in the year to look at some of the financial data. However, when one looks at 223 and 224, and we're showing some comments there which show, for example, general waste at 86,015 was a positive impact, and it gives a bit of a rundown, and each one of those items does. But it would be nice to know what that positive impact was. In other words, did we have a budget figure there of 90,000 or 95,000? Did we have a figure for green waste mulching of 40,000 or 60,000? You know, it's nice to have the comment and nice to have the figure, but if there was something to benchmark, that we can see a benchmark against, it would be advantageous for the future. And if those comments are done in the future with some sort of benchmark figure beside them, it would, you know, whether we're talking, you know, then we know whether we're talking 10 grand, 5 grand, 2 grand, or whatever it might be.
Yep. I'm sure Mr. Reeve's taken that on board. Councillor Fox?
I'm really impressed that for years I've been asking for a hazardous waste disposal opportunity, and on page 224 there is a bin and a bun provided for fluorescent tubes, small batteries, chemicals and paint, which is fantastic. I guess it's being stockpiled for the eventual C-cell, but I'm just wondering where it's going.
Mr. Reeve, are you able to respond on Councillor Fox's inquiry?
Do you know?
Through the chair, I don't think either of us know precisely. It is collected. It may well go to a company like Toxfree or something like that that are storing them or disposing of them appropriately.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something that the manager was concerned about in the past, that some of these sorts of things were entering the general waste stream, and that there was never a proper place to deposit them, whereas we now do. So that we can assure that they are properly disposed of. I'm just not exactly sure of the actual contractor who takes them away and does dispose of them properly. It may well be tox-free, but it's certainly something that I can assure the councillors is disposed of legally and properly.
Question to that, Mayor.
Question.
Officer Ferry says he's not sure who's going to take it. Why did we get into it? Why have we gone into accepting paints? I was down at this... KWS the other day, and they've got a bin. This is new. It's not been in place that long. So why the hell did we go into something that's going to cost the ratepayers a lot of money? Because I'm told that it's not only our municipality now bringing it down here, there's people coming from out of town bringing it down, because I think we're the only ones at the moment that's taking it.
I guess environmental clean-up is one. Environmental cleanup. Well, what are you going to do with that otherwise? You're going to turn it upside down and on the country?
You can do with the Antarctic, with the waste that comes from there that's stockpiled and other stuff. Why should we? And then next thing you know, Mr. Mayor, you'll be coming here saying, oh, we need to increase the fees at the gate again because we have to dispose of our
draft minutes, Bicycle Advisory Committee. No questions? I'll put the recommendation, moved by Councillor Chadden, second by Councillor Percy, that the following information reports be noted. 1. Mayor's communications. 2. Kingborough Waste Services bi-monthly report. 3. Draft minutes. Kingborough Bicycle Advisory Committee dated the 12th of August 2016. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? We'll have a show of hands and division then, please. Those in favour? Councillors Winter, Percy, Chatterton, Fox, Berry, Atkinson, Reet and Wass, and opposing the motion, Councillor Gray's motion is carried. The next item is on page 255. When I get there. Did I mention before that for the record that Councillor Atkinson left the meeting, I think, at 8.09 and returned at 8.11. Thank you. So we're on page 255, confirmation of items to be dealt with in closed session. Thank you, Councillor Fox. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Percy, that in accordance with Regulation 15, the Local Government Meetings Procedure Regulations 2015, the following items are to be dealt with in closed session, that is applications for leave of absence and copying CCL development. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? It's carried unanimously. Could I have a mover and a seconder then, please? Thank you, Councillor Reet. Thank you, Councillor Atkinson. That in accordance with Regulation 15, the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulation 2015, that Council move into closed session. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? That is carried unanimously. On that basis, in accordance with the Kingborough Council Meetings Audio Recording Guidelines Policy, recording of the open session of the meeting will now cease at 8:14.